it's interesting also, Howard, that I heard recently that in one of the national treasures in our country, the Louisa May Alcott House in Lincoln, or in Lexington, she had drawn certain pictures on the walls of the house. And they discovered this, and they had to use an infrared light in order to see these pictures, because the ink that was used faded away, no longer visible. But the stones that were on the shoulders of the high priests, they were engraved. They were engraved in the stone, the names of the children of Israel, so that there was nothing that could ever efface them. Nothing that, there's no, age or time did not cause those epaulets to wear down or to fade away. The names would never leave. They were engraved on the shoulder pieces. They were actual stones. And also the breastplate. The names of the children of Israel were engraved on the breastplate of the high priest. And yes, it speaks to his heart. He has a heart, even though he's in heaven right now, his heart of affection is always toward us. And that was true of the Old Testament priest as well. The high priest, he would bring that into the presence of God, and it would suggest that his heart of affection was being demonstrated in his care for the people who were on the outside of the temple, on the outside of the tabernacle, yet on the inside, it was care and affection that was brought toward God. It was really in the direction of worship. And but for us, the Lord Jesus, there's nothing graved on his breast or on his shoulders, but his hands. In Ezekiel, or one of the minor prophets, speaks of the fact that his hands, of course, are graven. Raven. And what he sustained on Calvary will ever be seen as he brings into the presence of God what he's sustained there on our behalf. So there will never be an effacing, never be a wearing away, never be a dulling or fading of the effects of what he did and what he bears before God right now.
In other words, our names can never be erased from him.
Brother, were the verses in chapter 5 read, Hebrews 5?
No.
There's, going along with what we just said, and back to the question of why the need for a high priest, the answer is given in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 5, verse 1 says, "For every high priest taken from amongst men is established for men in things relating to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, being able to exercise forbearance towards the ignorant and erring, since he himself also is clothed with infirmity." And then it goes on, but just, you know, as it was already mentioned, but here's the scripture to back that up, that a high priest is established for men in things relating to God to offer up, and this is good to know, both gifts, which would seem like things that wouldn't have anything to do with sins, like the burnt offering, the peace offering, a meal offering, and sacrifices for sins. So as we go on, we will, of course, have already established that Jesus has already done that one sacrifice for all, never to be repeated, which I think would relate back to the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. That one day the high priest went in. He went in that one day, and that was it. Unfortunately, it had to be repeated year after year. But with the Lord Jesus, it was once for all eternity. But then the work of the priest doesn't stop with the Day of Atonement. There are now, although there's no more need for sacrifices for sin, but there are gifts being offered. And certainly, I think verse 2 is the part that we really have emphasized in our outline, which is the exercising forbearance toward the ignorant and erring. Notice it's not necessarily toward the sinning, for the sinners, but ignorant and erring. And this relates to infirmity.
I think it's interesting to note on this very point that the portion in Wazaret in Chapter 4, which we address here as is sympathetic, knows what we experience and so forth. In Chapter 4, verse 15, "For he is not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings and infirmities." How is that? "But was in all points tempted, like as we are, but without sin." Yeah, without sin. The Lord experienced our human experience, mm-hmm. yet without sin. And therefore, when we are confronted with whatever is before us in this world, the Lord already knows about it. He's experienced it, and he can have compassion and sympathy to us. Gordon.
We can start back in Chapter 2. You have in Chapter 2 that he did not take on angelic form, but was made of the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be in all things made like unto his brethren. Talked about that a little bit this morning when we summed the hymn. This aspect of the Lord's work has to do with his coming to where we are, where we were, in order that he might raise us up. He represents us before God and he in things pertaining to God, but he comes to where we were to be made like we are, in order that we might raise us up. And this is a wonderful thought. He's merciful, characterized by mercy, and characterized by faithfulness. And so, the work of the Lord Jesus is that he, in through the very nature of his being and character, is the only one capable, right, to represent before God and to do what we had this morning, be able to lay hands on both sides. He is the one who came to where we were, and in knowing everything that the divine required, he fits us and makes conditions so that he can now raise us up. And so he's merciful. The thought of merciful is loving kindness, his kindness, his goodness, his mercy extended to us, having compassion to knowing what we are, and then faithful, being faithful to who God is, and being faithful to himself in order to bring us into a condition that we might be able to have now a relationship with God. This is really what the priest, the high priest does. The high priest makes conditions such that the people might have a working relationship with the holy God. How could God dwell amongst Israel? How could God dwell amongst such a sinful, rebellious people? It's because he could look down and see what the high priest did on that Day of Atonement in sprinkling the blood. And he can find a way in which he can dwell with sinful men. And so here, what we have is the high priestly work of Christ is he comes to raise us up, demonstrating to us mercy and faithfulness, and so that he is the one also who made propitiation. It's the same word. It says reconciliation in the authorized, but it's the word propitiation, which we had at the end of the other study. It is his work, his one sacrifice, that is able to bring us into a condition in which we now have a relationship with God. And this is because he was the high priest who made that one sacrifice for sin, sacrificing himself.